Proverbs 10:16 says, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin." That may seem like an obvious statement to the mature Christian, and may even be something that most people would agree to if you ask them. But just looking around at the way people live, it's just as obvious that people ignore this truth. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. In the Bible, we see this right off in Cain, Abel, and Seth. Seth gets left out of this story most of the time, but think about it. The labor of Abel tended to life, but his life was cut off by the fruit of the wicked of Cain. John tells us in 1 John 3:12 that Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And once Abel was murdered, God dealt with Cain and banished him. And then came Seth. Genesis 4:25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Seth chose to do the labor of the righteous with his life, and he lived to be 912 years old. And it was Seth, through his son Enos, his grandson Cainan, his great-grandson Mahalalel, his great-great-grandson Jared, produced Enoch. Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch was the first rapture. It's a type of our rapture, actually. And of course, from Enoch, we eventually got Noah, who produced Shem. And from Shem, we later get Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son Judah, one of the 12 tribes, eventually produced King David. And from King David's son Solomon came the adoptive father of Jesus named Joseph. And all that's found in the genealogy in Matthew 1. Meanwhile, from David's son Nathan eventually came a man named Heli, who was the father of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and became the father-in-law of Joseph, all of which was laid out for you in Luke chapter 3. So there's a picture of the genealogy of Jesus from Seth. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. So back to Cain. All his labor produced was a huge race of wicked people, and every one of them was eventually destroyed by God's wrath in the global flood. We read in Genesis 7:21-22, "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died." That's the end of Cain's labor, sin and death. Of course, that's an illustration of this proverb on a massive scale, but I'm sure that if you examine any biography, any autobiography of any human being who ever lived, you're going to find that the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. It's true of nations. As more and more people reject Christ and work for the cause of wickedness, the tendency is to spiral into tyranny and the loss of personal liberties and freedom. And that's also true on an individual level. Our prisons are full of people who were overcome by their own wickedness, and the result is that they either die and go to an early grave, or their freedoms and liberties die when they're incarcerated. But the mass majority of those not incarcerated are still living in their own personal prisons. Think of the many that you know personally who are alive, but their lives are a complete waste. Their lives are summed up in those words, "the fruit of the wicked to sin." We should be the opposite of that. We can only control ourselves and our own lives and be an example to others. As Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."